to no avail whatever. They forced me up into the room which Ulubba had described as the dungeon, and here came Yando and another of his thugs bringing up the rear. He snapped an order, grinning malevolently, and I was flung down and bound wrist and ankle by two of the brutes, while a third began to drag something from the shadows in a corner of the room. Light was beginning to filter through the high windows, glinting on the hook dangling by a stout rope from its pulley, and terror gripped me, as Yando, shouting with laughter, took hold of it, and I saw that what the third man was dragging forward was a frame, shaped like an iron maiden, but made of metal strips, not unlike the irons in which they used to enclose hanged felons. It was hinged at one side, and as Yando threw it open, my captors hoisted me up and thrust me into it. Yando snapped it closed, bolting it with a large pin attached to an immensely long, fine steel chain, which he held coiled in his hand. They lifted me parallel to the floor, hanging me on the hook by a loop on the back of the frame, so that I swung face down. That was when I began to scream in earnest, struggling helpless in that ghastly cage, staring through its slender bars at the floorboards 3 feet below. Then Yando tugged on the coiled chain, withdrawing the pin so that the frame fell suddenly open, and I came crashing to the floor and lay half stunned. Do you know, in that moment I was a miserable Rugby fag again, being tossed in a blanket by the evil swine Bully Dawson, whose delight it was to heave us aloft and then pull the blanket aside so that we came down smash. I'd squealed for mercy then, but my pleas were nothing to the howls I put up now as they lifted me, thrusting me back into the dangling contraption, snapping it shut about me. Yando replaced the pin which held it closed, and they set me swinging again. I still couldn't see what they intended, except that it must be something hellish. But now Yando was leering at me through the bars, jabbering in Amharic as I wailed to be let alone. Please, oh please, I'd done nothing. I was a British officer. Oh, Jesus, help me! And then they flung back a great trapdoor in the floor directly under me, and I shrieked myself hoarse as I writhed vainly in that hideous steel coffin, staring at the unbelievable horror revealed beneath the floor of the chamber, which overhung the cliff-top on which the tower was perched. A blast of icy air smote me as the trap crashed open. Mist was wreathing below, partly concealing the gaping void and the cliff face, which I knew dropped sheer for thousands of feet. And Yando was flourishing the steel chain, displaying its great length, and taunting me in Amharic as he showed in mime how he could draw the pin free at a distance, dropping me to hideous death. In my panic, even my voice failed me. I could only mouth silently at that dreadful face, so close that I could catch the foulness of his breath, and to this day I can still see the pores in his disgusting black snout. He shouted an order, and two of his minions were at the wheel controlling the hook. There was a sudden clank, and as I fell abruptly a few inches with a sickening jolt, I found my voice again, screaming my head off as I was lowered with the steady clanking of that vile machine to the level of the trap, and then through it, into the biting wind and swirling mist, knowing that the fine chain which could jerk free the pin was paying out above, its end in the hand of that fiend gloating down at me. The lowering stopped with a jar and a last distant clank, and I was hanging in my imprisoning cage, 10 feet beneath the floor, staring down into eternity. Or so it seemed. In my catalogue of terrors, heights come second only to physical torture. And I have nightmares still in which I am toppling after Dekute into the boiling depths of the Jotunschlut, or being hurled down to the death pits of Ambor Hiputsi, or dangling bollock naked beneath that balcony in Lahore. But nothing can compare to the crotch-tightening horror of seeing, through the blowing mist, the limitless depth beneath me, down that cliff face, now clearly visible, dwindling away to the jagged pinnacles of rock rising from its base, and beyond them the valley floor, to which that bastard Yando could send me hurtling with one twitch of his hand, down and down and down, falling, falling, falling for an eternity through half a mile of freezing nothing, with a shrill wind drowning my dying scream, until life ended in shattering bloody impact far below. I wonder I didn't go mad.